You're my beautiful day. You make the dark looming clouds sail away. It's so great we're all together now. The poor weathermen say they can't be blamed.
Welcome back, everybody, to Quid Pro Quo, the musical podcast where I introduce my friends and loved ones to progressive rock music, and they in turn get me to listen to whatever they want. And this episode is a very good one, as they all are. I'm really excited to speak with my friend Rabia. Rabia and I have crossed paths many a times in our other lives within the library world, as, you know, half of the guests on this podcast are. And I'm really excited to kind of share some deep prog with her and for her to introduce me to some more contemporary popular artists. So it's a really good time, really good time. Before we dive in, just the usual preamble of thank yous, without whom this podcast wouldn't be around. The first one, obviously, is the soundtrack, the music that's going on here. That's from Explosive Ear Candy with their track All Together Now. It is, of course, the soundtrack to this podcast, as well as the graphic designer, Liana Osinski, which I believe is how you pronounce it. I know I've been fumbling over her name quite regularly, but she did a fantastic job on the logo, and I always like to shout that out. Okay, so without further ado, let's dive into this week's episode, or I guess this month's episode. I keep having to remind myself, and I'll remind you that this episode is being, this season is being released monthly. So hope you guys are enjoying it. I know I've had a great time recording these episodes, and I hope you guys are having a good time listening to them. So let's dive in. Predicting that you'd come along. Ooh, give me more of your sunshine. Thank you so much for joining me today, Rabia. Very glad to have you on. And I usually ask how I know the individual, but for us, it's a little bit unique. So do you want to introduce yourself and tell the audience how we know one another?
Yeah, so my name is Rabia Kokar. I'm a teacher in Toronto, as well as a PhD student in equity and educational consultant. And I guess we know each other from just like library conferences and just like being like, I guess, social media, right? And just being connected with similar library platforms. And then I think I presented at a conference you were organizing last year. And so I guess that would be really through just library social media and just, you know, things like that.
Yeah, it's touching on my other side of my life, which is all library land. I feel like our paths cross just through our enthusiasm within the library world.
That's a good way to describe it.
So I knew I had to have you on because our brief moments of encounters, I've always been left very enriched. So I wanted to have you on to make sure and continue that. Because I'm sure you're going to provide a very, I'm very looking forward to your take on this, because the predominant style of music that I give my guests is progressive rock, which started in like the late 60s, early 70s, and is like, how familiar are you with prog and progressive rock music?
You know, it's really interesting. I'm really excited to be here as well, and thank you for the opportunity. I think with music, like, and my own connection to it, I feel like I don't necessarily have like a specific genre that I'm really like compelled to, or that I'm really like 100%, you know, with. If there was a genre, or if I would identify with something, it's probably like hip hop and just like spoken word and like
Okay.
that genre, like spoken word rap, like hip hop would be something that I guess because it has like roots to activism and social justice. So I
For
always find
sure.
myself there. But in relation to rock, I feel like, or any other music, I feel like it might not necessarily be the genre, but a song that I might be like, that might catch my eye or something. And so I guess it's kind of weird or different, but for me, it's more like the song as an individual. And then maybe if I'm interested in it, then I'll go check out like who, the singer is, the band, and like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. So this will be very interesting because, like, progressive rock really treated the album as like a unified statement. Like, they weren't just a collection of songs that happened to be together on a particular album. Like, the songs kind of had a rhyme and a reason of why they were on the album proper. So yeah, I'm
Like
this
they
will be
tell a
very
collective story, I guess, right? Each pieces tell like a specific story. Yeah, I can totally see that.
And so luckily the one that I'm having you listen to today is in my mind a very it's a lot it's a good entry point for progressive rock,
Okay, that's
'cause
good.
progressive rock can be very complex and not too friendly for new listeners. You know, it's very challenging music. They like to play music that for some people. So, like, I played an album for one of my friends, and they said it sounded like the band was making sounds that were actively trying to turn me away from the music rather than making a pleasant sound.
That are
So
welcoming or
that's
inviting.
right. So I didn't want to give you any of those albums. I wanted to give you something that sounded quite pleasant. I think we're ready to share the albums that we have. So the album that I'm going to give to you is from a band called Yes. So YES, like yes. And they're one of the pioneers, I guess would be a good word, for progressive rock. They have a lot of very staple albums. And so I'm giving you an album from them that came out a little bit later. The album I'm giving you is Going for the One. Yeah. And if you're looking it up on like streaming services and whatnot, usually they have the big deluxe album that's like, I don't know, an hour and a half long. The album proper is only five songs. So just around a 40-minute mark or so. And the reason why I'm giving you this one, besides what I've already just said, is it's for me extremely pleasant to listen to. They focus in a lot on the harmonizations between keyboards and the guitar and vocal harmonies. And the band, which had almost like a rotating door for band members, because every album has like a little bit of a different lineup of musicians on it. This one has the same members from previous albums, and they all just decided to vacation in like Sweden or Norway or Holland for like several months and just decided, yeah, we're going to write whatever music comes to us in this very chill, very pleasant environment.
Environment.
Yeah.
Wow, very
So,
interesting.
yeah. So, I hope you like it. Luckily, there's not like a big overarching story to this album. It's much more like a collection of short stories, I guess would be the best way for it. And yeah, I'm really excited to talk about one particular track. And I'm sure it's the last track. So, I'm just going to give you that little piece of nugget. Yeah. So that's the album that I'm going to have you listen to.
Okay, that sounds really interesting and exciting and really different from maybe like music that I might listen to. So I'm really interested in listening to something new and just like sharing, I guess, my own take on it. Yeah, and then I guess the album that I want to give you is called Troubadour by Kanon.
Oh, you're gonna have to spell that one for me. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's TROUBADOUR.
Okay.
And it's by Kanon, so Kanaan.
Okay.
And yeah, Kanon, it came out in like 2009. And I believe that was kind of when I was like graduating high school. So I guess we'll discuss more of the story later, but his album is really focused on just like hip hop, and he uses a lot of different like different sounds and different ways of just like communicating his story, which I think is really powerful and beautiful. He has this like gentle voice, but it's very like powerful, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm really interested in sharing it. And he's Canadian, so I think that's kind of cool. So he's like
Okay.
a Canadian hip hop artist, and he had a really famous song a couple of years back, Waving Flag.
I was going to ask because I just did a quick search on this album and Waving Flag was on there. And I'm like, was that the song from, I want to say, was it the Olympics or something like that?
I think it was like FIFA or something, like some
FIFA,
I a
yes.
World Cup, right? Yeah, a couple of years, many years ago, I guess. But
Yeah.
yeah, that was like the song that most people know him for. I think
Okay.
Troubadour, he talks a lot about like lots of different things, like his story. You know, it shows pain, hope, survival. So I think he really communicates it like so well, and it's each like song and track is individual, but it also is like in harmony with the entire album. So I think it's really cool.
Oh, good. I'm really excited to listen to that because I enjoyed that track, Waving Flag, when it first came out. So I'm really excited to dive into the album that it came from, see what it was all like, what it's all actually about, like to see how it fits in as well.
Yeah, now I can't remember if Waving Flag is part of this album, but I know that he I can't remember if it's part of this album because he has a couple of albums. I did write this down. Yeah, I think Waving Flag is part of this album. So yeah, you'll get a
Yeah, it
chance to
looks like it.
listen
Well, it looks like
to
I'm pulling up two different versions. I've got the explicit version and the
it.
champion edition Asian version. So, which I'll leave that up to you. Which one should I listen to?
Maybe the champion version.
Okay, I'll listen to the champion version. Yeah, it looks like they're both about an hour and 13 minutes. So it looks like they're practically the same thing, just I guess one has explicits on
Yeah, probably that's true. Yeah.
That's all right. Perfect. Okay, so it looks like I have a little bit more time with my album. So if you even want to go through and give my album a double pass, listen to it a couple times. Again, so the album that I'm giving you, just the five songs. So if you see that there's most of the time, whenever that's on a streaming service, there's a bunch of bonus tracks. After the big fifth song of Awaken, that's when you can stop.
Okay, so are the songs going for the one there's it's showing five songs and they're called Going for the One, Parallels, Awaken, Turn of the Century, and Wondrous Stories.
Yes,
Yes.
the order that it should be in is Going for the One, Turn of the Century, Parallels, Wondrous Stories, and Awaken.
Okay, yeah, that's what it says. Yeah, okay,
Perfect.
great,
That's
good.
the one. So, yeah, we will go our separate ways, listen to our
Okay.
each other's albums, and come back and give our first take, our initial our initial thoughts about it.
Reaction.
That's
Yeah.
it. That's it.
Okay, that's good. So excited to meet
You're
back
the
soon.
perfect excuse
See you
to
soon.
get
See you
away.
soon.
'Cause I know the future is on our side. Ah, ooh, give me more of your sunshine.
And with with that, Rabia goes into her musical silo to listen to Going for the One from Yes, and I'm going to be listening to Khan with his Troubadour album. I always love doing this in, like, listening to music that I know peripherally. Like, we all know the Wave Our Flag. I mean, it was a really big anthem way back in the day. And because it was a Canadian artist, we were particularly proud about that. And so I get to actually, like, dive in and listen to the full album proper. And Rabia will get to listen to Going for the One. So I hope everybody is having a good time out there. I hope you guys are also enjoying this new style of Quid Pro Quo's episode release, getting you hungry a little bit for the episodes. I know when this first came out back in 2020 and 2021, it was like every week and every other weekend. This one takes a little bit longer to produce than some of my other endeavors. So yeah, I hope you guys understand the time constraints for this one. And it's one that I love doing and I didn't want to give it up entirely, but I did need that break from 2022. But now that it's 2023, let's get back into it, right? Let's get back into it. But one a month, you know? So I'm pretty excited for you guys to continue on and listen to what we've got in store for the rest of 2023. If you haven't already followed my other podcast of The Metalhead, Grace Hayhurst and I put on a very great meditative, very like soothing, it helps for anxiety or depression or anything like that. It's called The Metalhead. It's just a meditative podcast about metal music. That's been updating every other week for a while. We've had to put on a little bit of a hiatus just because of scheduling conflicts. But we will be back at full action come March. So get ready for that. I think I'll upload, a couple of episodes here and there. Depending also when this episode's going out, because I'm recording this little bit at the end of January, and I have a feeling this probably won't be going out until like May or so. So we'll have lots of Metalhead episodes out by that point. And my other podcast that is being produced is called The IP Address. At this point, it's still in production. We're getting into post-production now. So upon recording, it isn't currently out, but hopefully by the time you're listening to this episode, it will be. So yeah, go check that out. It's with my friend Sarah Roberts, and we just talk about copyright and intellectual property in a library setting. It's kind of very different than any of the other stuff that I've been working on. Anyway, I've been yammering on for a little too much on this one, so let's just dive back into the episode proper, find out what I thought about Troubadour from Khan, and what Rabia thought of Going for the One from Yes. Let's dive back in.
On Zoom, that's why I was.
That's
late.
Okay. It always updates at the worst time.
Why is it updating now?
This time. Oh, that's okay. So, what did you think? How was your endeavor with Yes?
I really liked it. I mean, it was really different from like the music I have listened to, but I found it really accessible. Like, It was really accessible, and I felt like each track was telling like this story which was individualistic, but it also like fit together like as a collection. I thought that was really interesting, and I think one of the themes, or each song had its own like feelings that were embedded, but I feel like all together it was very hopeful, which is really interesting. Like, I found it to be hopeful and just like really intricate and beautiful.
Oh, that's great.
How I would describe it. And yeah, I think accessible, because I don't really listen to like this type of music, but I was able to like follow along with the beat and the stories and just the lyrics. So I think that was really interesting for me, because I was thinking it might not be super accessible. So I initially had like the lyrics up.
Right.
But I found that I was able to, and I had the lyrics up like the whole time, but I felt like I was able to like understand it and connect to it, you know what I mean, like even, as a newcomer to this.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so was there any like individual track that stood out for you?
I think Going for the One, maybe it sounds really cliche, but I think that one really stood out for me, as well as Turn of the Century. I felt like going for the one, like, even I think this album came out in like the 1970s, right? And I felt like it's still like relevant today. Like I could connect to the message of it. I could connect to the feeling, you know, that it kind of brought out. So I think I really like that one. Drawn to this theme of like love and like this chasing of love, or you know, trying to get this love, and just the song itself, like the beats within it was very like it built you up to something and then it built down and it kind of went like up and down. I kind of like that, you know. It was nice. It flowed with the message, I think, of you know, like I guess you know, when you're trying to find love or trying to chase the love, it's very like up and down, you know, it's not like a straight path or a straight line. I really like that, like the music and the lyrics made you kind of go escalate and then come down. It's kind of like that. I really like that one.
Oh, good.
I really like Turn of the Century too, which I thought was really different as well, because it was more calmer. Then maybe going for the one, like I felt it was calmer, it was more gentler, softer. And I know that it was a little bit about, like, I read a little bit on it and it was sort of like mourning. It was kind of like sad, but also like happy and hopeful at the same time, in a way, if that makes sense. So
My interpretation of that one is reminiscing of love loss, but instead of being sad that it's gone, being joyful that it happened.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I felt like when I was listening to it, I felt like sad, but not like so sad, but like just sort of like it kind of like calmed me down. I think going for the one was very like very fast paced. It was very fast, and then it was kind of nice to have Turn of the Century, which I felt was more, it just kind of like calmed me down and it made me like reflective, maybe not necessarily for you know, like a love that's lost, but it just kind of calmed me down and just made me reflect, and it put me in that like space to like calm down, reflect, and just yeah, I think I kind of needed that as well, because I felt like the first track was really fast and then this one like calmed me down and then it kind of set me up to continue for the other ones.
Yeah, for sure. I like how, as you mentioned, like going for the one is get up and go kind of a track. Like it energizes you. You want to get up
Yes,
and do
that's a good
things. But
word.
then Turn of the Century is a lot more mellow. It's like, okay, let's just take a breather. Let's recoup. Going Turn of the Century is my third favorite track off of the album.
Okay. Oh, that's
Yeah, so
interesting.
yeah, I really enjoy it, and I almost have this visualization of like almost like strangers passing in the street, and then they start thinking about one another and like either reminiscing about a time that's gone by where they met one another at like I don't know, like a masquerade ball of some kind that they met and they
Yeah, I can see
danced,
that.
you know, and then it gets all very fantastical by them dancing, and it elevates them up into like the sky, and they're dancing on the clouds and all that fun stuff. So,
It's
yeah.
like dreamy almost, you know, there's like this. Yeah, I think the whole album, like, it's very realistic because I think all folks who are listening to it can relate to it in some capacity. You know, this idea of love and being in love or being loved or, you know, having that story, whatever love looks like, you know, like not ne maybe not even a romantic love, but, you know, love in its big capacity. Did I feel like So I feel like that, like the themes are very like relevant, you know, and they're still anyone of any identity or, you know, whatever your music favorite type is or, you know, whatever you like. I think there's still like entry points for you to connect to or understand. And I think even though it's very realistic, I think there's also very like dreamlike or like what you've called like kind of like out of the world themes as well. And I think we see that a lot with the other tracks like Parallels and Wondrous Stories and Awaken. You get a lot more of that, like I guess like imagination or just more like fantastical or out of this world.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Parallels. Like, it's my least favorite track off the album. I still like it because I like the organ sound off of it, but I've been listening to this album since I was in high school. And I've never really connected with Parallels all that much. The two tracks, like the two last tracks, Wondrous Stories and Awaken, are my two favorite tracks off of the album. So it was interesting because I was wondering what your take on, I guess, those two tracks were, specifically on Awaken, because it is such a longer track.
Yeah, I found that was re it was considerably longer than the other ones, right? Which I thought was interesting because most of them were sort of shorter and they were able to communicate the message or the story within the short of like shorter time frame. But I found Awaken to be like long and interesting. I think with Wondrous Stories and Awaken, I found those to be the most like in a way like out of the world or fantastic. And I found like they had some almost like I guess like religious like undertones, if that, or maybe I'm totally off, but like
No,
some
for sure. Yeah,
biblical or like,
like
yeah, I don't know.
one of the lead writers for the lyrics is very, I wouldn't even say, like, maybe not religious, but definitely spiritual.
Yeah, that's a good word to describe it. Yeah, I felt like those two were kind of like had those themes like a lot more, even though I know that like turn of the century had some of that as well. I just found those two had more of like those undertones for me, or maybe it was just like my perspective of how I was listening to it, but I found
For
them
sure.
really interesting because, you know, Wondrous Stories, I was really interested because I'm really interested in stories and like storytelling. So I thought that was, you know, really interesting. What did you like about those two the most, and
For
why are they?
me, for Wondrous Stories, I just love the atmosphere and the vibe of that track. I love how almost whimsical the guitar and the keyboards are on both of those tracks, specifically on Wondrous Stories. And I love the interplay of the harmonies between the lead singer and the backup singer. I just love the overall, like, warm vibes of that. Very, like, it's almost like joyful in a mellow sense. Like, it's not like it goes beyond being contempt, like content. It's like this celebration of joy without needing to jump up and down. It's like got this, and like a lot of that is just within the chord progressions, within the singing and the vibes of the music. The main reason why I love Awaken is the progression of the music, how it starts off very chaotic, very all over the place, very almost aggressive. Then it comes together in a very orderly and symphonic way to dissolve down into a like a very small sound that gradually builds into this massive sound at the end.
And I think I kind of like connect it to the message as well of just love and hope. And it's, I think the most I take out of it is that like nothing is really like, I guess, like a straight progression in a way. Like there's going to be up and downs and zigzags and all of that. And I think that's what the lyrics as well as the sounds and like the harmonies and interplay within all of those comes together to kind of like really create that message. And that's kind of what stands out to me is that it's so many different things, you know. I guess from my perspective, there's so many different like sounds and lyrics and lot, it seems like there's like lots of different like instruments that are being like, you know, put together. But I feel like it's this message that things are very different, but they're also like unified and connected. That's how I felt kind of reflecting on all of the tracks.
Yeah, and that's something that the band really likes to play around with in terms of themes, like how we're all connected, we're all of one people, and we all kind of share a universal experience.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, and how it's really all like the glue that holds us together is the love that we share for one another.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, and it's almost like, I know I always read too much into it, but it's like taking this experience into a like a spiritualistic, almost divine sense, like and kind of like shaping that in terms of the music. And so that's why I love at the end of Awaken how big and powerful the sound is to try to kind of replicate that a little bit.
Yeah, I think you said that so like beautifully, because I think I think through music, I think we can kind of find those universal connections. And I think I like that, you know, they play on those big themes that like all folks can kind of connect to, whether it's love, hope, like mourning, pain, joy, progression, and like lived experience, really, and how all people can kind of come there within those experiences. So I feel like I think that's really like powerful, because it is kind of what connects us. And I think through the lyrics and just the whole album, it is like a testament to that. Maybe we're reading too much into it. I think
probably, but that's part of this podcast.
I think it's meaningful to have that be like a lasting like feeling in your heart, you know, after you've listened and discussed it.
Yeah, absolutely. So overall, would you return to this again, or is it just kind of like a one and done? I'm not going to return to it again.
I think I would definitely return to like specific like tracks. I would return to Going for the One and Turn of the Century. I think I would go back to those and just listen to them. I think for me, they kind of balance it out in a way, because like as we discussed, Going for the One is very like energetic, and then Turn of the Century is kind of like more gentler. So for me, I think I would go back to those ones. I think those are the two that I connected with the most. So I would probably like listen to those again and try to decipher like more meaning, or like even think about like why I was more connected to those two rather than maybe the other one. So I think I would go back to it.
Okay, well, that's great.
Yeah,
I count that as a success. I count that as a win.
Yeah, I'd be interested in to check out like their other works as well. I think.
Yeah, because like they have a lot of like, there's a lot of albums. I think they put out like over 20 albums in total, because they've been putting out albums since like the late 60s. And their most recent one, I think, came out last year. So they've got a lot of music. But there's the way to approach theirs is like there are different chapters in their discography. Music
journey.
Okay. Yeah. So like, within this, all the albums in the 70s are like one chapter, all the albums from the 80s and 90s are another chapter, and then albums from the late 90s to about like the early 2010s are like the kind of last chapter. So
that's
if you think about it,
way to
so it's kind of like each chapter is almost a completely different band, because half the time all the members at one point have gone in and out. So like the most recent, so the most recent album they put out have all completely different members than the first album that they put out.
Wow.
So yeah,
that's really interesting and like unique. in a way too, right? Because I think in some ways it could be kind of cool as well, because they're getting like more voices and more different styles, you know, coming in. And it's, yeah, it's kind of interesting to see their journey and their progression. And it would be interesting to see like what the changes are. I mean, definitely there's changes in the people, but you know, are there changes in the message? Are they focusing more on specific things in one chapter of their journey? That's kind of what would interest me.
And it is interesting because the lineup that's in this album is the same as the album that comes after it, and the album, not the one that directly precedes it, but the other one. So like two albums prior. And both of them have this connection of like unification, what is kind of the universal experience. But the albums that don't have this exact lineup don't quite lean on those ideas and those themes quite as heavily. So if you want to check out other albums that have this lineup, the album called Tales from Topographic Oceans. That one's a little bit of a challenge because there's only four tracks on it, but each track is like 20 minutes long.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So I love it. It's one of my all-time favorite albums. But it's a little bit of a challenge. But then the album that comes after this one is called Tornado. And that one's a lot easier because I think the longest track on that is like 6 or 7 minutes. So it's a lot more poppy, accessible tracks. I think there's even a song called like The Circus of Heaven or something like that. It's pretty fun. Yeah,
I found like this album like accessible for even like a newcomer, you know, to this genre as me. Like I think that's kind of what stood out to me too. Maybe going in, I thought maybe it might not be as accessible as it turned out to be, particularly those tracks that I connected to more, whether it was the lyrics or just the way it made me feel.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad that you were able to connect with it, because I wouldn't say I was completely worried, but there was this moment where I'm like, oh, I hope Rabia really enjoys this at least, you know? So yeah, that's great. Moving on, go for it.
No, I was just gonna ask, how did you find Troubadour in Canada?
I was gonna say, so it's so interesting because part of the reason why I love doing this podcast is finding how very different albums have similarities to them, because this album is very different, but it still kind of tackles like the universal experience from an individual point. You know, there's a lot of very personal items on this, from like lived experience, how this individual grew up on the streets and the essentially like the atrocities that they experienced, and how they grew from it, how their life was shaped by it, and how they're living their lives after that, and like what they want to do for that. And it was so rewarding for me to listen to a lot of that, even though a number of those moments were rather difficult to hear. Like one of the last tracks, he was talking about this grenade that went off very close to him and his cousin. And they were only in seventh grade. And, you know, I'm thinking back to when I was in seventh grade, and I'm like, I was just worried about what type of Pokemon I was trying to catch on my Game Boy.
I think I should have given like a trigger warning.
Because we were discussing what album to listen to, and I definitely had the explicit album that I was listening to, which was a shock to me, because like when I was presented originally with this album, I kept thinking of that one track, the waving the flag, or flag wagon.
Waving flag.
That's it, waving flag. And how hopeful it was, how looking towards the future and what's going to change, being the action within the change. And then getting hit with those first couple of tracks, and it's very not that.
It's a lot to carry. I think it's very interesting, because Do you think that it might open with like maybe more, I don't know the word, maybe more like accessible tracks? Not accessible, maybe like more lighter for the sake of it, like whatever lighter means. But it starts with really like the track ABC that's very much about like systemic inequalities in relation to education. It starts heavy and it kind of continues that way in a way.
Yeah, for at least the first couple of tracks. Extra crushed up linen, fly like Cessna. This type grew, I gave it birth. Now it's time again to give it a verse. Jamaican born, not a fan of the ganja. Clear by Brooklyn to Somalia. Hit them toes in the background. Player, that is my sound. The green doesn't symbolize I made it on the top. Pioneer legend, and they call me Mr. Rock. No B word or N word, I don't need those words. Respect for hers. The game dried up, so we coming to Greece. Leading you right and treating you right to peace. I was really surprised, especially with those first couple of tracks like TIA and ABCs and even like the Dreamer and Come Prepared. I was surprised how aggressive it was. But upon reflection, I'm not surprised of how aggressive it was based on the subject matter of those tracks. Like specifically within ABCs, talking about, we weren't taught the ABCs, we were taught the cold hard like truths of the world in certain extents. We weren't given these abstract ideas, we were given these concrete ideas. And I even it's so interesting, like I noticed within the second or third track of Dreamer, how it was this really interesting take off of John Lennon's version of Dreamer.
There's
And
a lot of play on things that happen within it. There's a lot of intertextualities in a way.
absolutely. I think you definitely nailed it on the head there. Because he's talking about even within the lyrics, like I may be a dreamer, but I'm not the only one, being a direct callback to the John Lennon, but instead of it being a more hopeful, almost passive dreaming, I think the message on here is a much more active dreaming, like
Dreaming.
we need to wake up from this dream and actually get things done type of an idea.
I like that you said that a lot because I think maybe if we hear these different like songs, we might, because it's so like I think it's so seeped into like this person's reality, but it also takes into consideration like the lived experiences of many like racialized Black, Indigenous, or folks. It can be overwhelming, but I feel like it's really interesting for me as I like reflect on this because even though Kanon is sharing these like really hard, real truths, his voice is very like soft in a way. Like it's he does it in a way that's very accessible and inviting. Like, it's a lot of like heavy things that he talks about in his lyrics, but it's almost like you're compelled to like listen to it. Like you want to kind of know what he's gonna say, and you kind of want to know like what words he's going to play on, and what other things he's going to reference, because that's kind of what he does, is that he's like super aware of like what's happening, and he plays on those things to show like his perspective, or show like what life is actually like. I like that. I really like that, because he's conveying these really hard truths, but he's doing it in a very, at times, like gentle, sad, very like raw way, I think.
Yeah, and it does go to show how much of a talent he has in terms of shaping a story and delivering a story, especially within a lot of the poetry about that. And that's something that I admire within, the best rappers and hip hop artists, is shaping the poetry throughout the track. And the one that really hit me pretty hard was America, especially when he starts rapping in Somalia.
Yeah, in
Even
Somalia.
though, yeah, even though I don't speak Somalia, the shape of the language, like the almost like the physical attributes of that language came through within the poetic verses that he was putting down, kind of alluding once again to that kind of universal language of music.
Yeah, he uses a lot of like Somali, Arabic, and Swahili, I think. And it's really interesting because I think he has like this really cool way of like bringing all of these languages together. And even if you don't know what he's saying, it's exactly what you're saying. Even if you don't know like what words mean, you kind of get it. Like you kind of understand if he's talking about something like hopeful or something like sad or like whatever the narrative is that he's communicating, you kind of like are like embedded within it, like you're invited into it, into the language, into that experience. And I think it's really cool how he goes from like one language to the other like so seamlessly. I think that's so like interesting. And I think more than anything, I think he's a storyteller and he's using this medium to convey like not only his individual stories but like stories of his community. And I think they're filled with like hardship, but I think like I don't necessarily just take the hardship, I take the hope that he's like conveying, like the hope and the joy and the I guess the resistance, which I think is really speaking to like the genre, like the hip-hop genre or like spoken word or you know storytelling in this way, which is very much focused on like resistance and like sharing our truth and also putting together like you know the resistance, which is always like with joy as well, you know, it's talking about what the truth is and just you know what he's making out of it as well.
And I think you had mentioned something very early on in this conversation where the tone of his voice allows us to see the joy within his experiences. And so the way that he is presenting some of these more heavy and not so joyful situations, the inflections within his vocal range and the way that he's telling it, you're able to see past it and see, I guess, more of the truth of the situation.
I really like how you've said that, because it's like, I think it's his voice that's really uplifting in a way, like even though the situation is so sad or it's so maybe different from what we might have experienced in whatever capacity, it's like uplifting, which I think it's really cool too, because he's able to mold his voice differently and you hear it on the track, like even in one track you'll hear how his voice is like different and it's it's different based on like what he's saying or what point of the song he's on as well. That's something that really stood out for me, is that that part is just really powerful.
The last note that I wanted to make for this album was the variety of experiences. Even though the you know the song that most people know on this album is Wave and Flag, just give me a second. Here we go. I drank a thing of water and it went down the wrong way about 5 minutes ago. So
no, that happens.
It does. But when I came into this and only knowing Waving Flag and seeing this variation and variety of different sounds, one of the tracks of Bang Bang kind of, you know, they switch of almost genres from a lot of this very hard hitting, very powerful R&B and hip hop and rap, going almost into this like Pharrell Williams pop track of Bang Bang with Adam Levine. And I believe he's the individual from American Idol and like a pretty, I'm thinking of somebody else. I believe Adam Levine is, oh shoot, what's the big, Maroon 5. A very big pop group from this past couple of decades. Having this really big standout pop track. And then a few tracks later, near the end of the album, with If Rap Gets Jealous, like the next track much more of a rocking track, like heavy guitars. The variety kind of lends a hand for, you know, a lot of different experiences and a lot of different personalities, which ended up being like my two more favorite tracks on this, because I really liked Bang Bang, even though I'm not a really big fan of, you know, Maroon 5 and whatnot. But it just kind of reminded me of like a lot of different voices and a lot of different expressions that helped elevate this album to a much more enjoyable listen from start to finish.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting that you say that. And I think it goes back to like the intertextualities that he plays with. Like, it seems like he's very like well read. Like, he's very well aware of these different genres that he's playing with, and these different lyrics that he's, and the different people, you know, that are
absolutely
like, he's very aware. And then he's kind of like taking his own, he's like kind of like taking that and sharing his own like perspective on it. Mm-hmm. So I think it stands as that he's like really aware, and now he's super aware, and he's kind of like speaking back to something, you know. I really think that that's so interesting. And I think you know, just kind of going back to like where even I got introduced to him, I think it was like in grade 11 or 12 in high school. I think, I can't remember what class it was, but one of our classes. And you know, I think for me, it was just like really interesting to hear like a racialized man like speaking about these things. And to some capacity, I could relate to him, because he's Muslim. He grew up in Toronto, and he's sharing these like really hard like lived experiences, but they're done in a way that's like inviting and beautiful. And he's really speaking to the heart of these things, and it's really focused on like resistance, and not just like, it's not just a sad story. It's a story about community. It's a story about hope and struggle, and like all of these like beautiful things that make up the universal experience that you're that we were talking about, right? I think it was nice to see somebody like talking about this stuff. And I know that like rap and hip hop itself has like this history anyways, but I think it was interesting to see that like when I was kind of growing up and I was exploring my own like, I guess, activism or trying to think about issues that were like important to me, and then there was this person who was singing about these things, and it felt really cool to just see like this like Muslim man talking about these things, and like being able to see that like people like me in some capacity could have these roles and be these people in society. So, and it was very localized, you know, in a way. Like, he grew up in Toronto and he was doing this stuff here. I know he's moved on to the States, I think, but just to have somebody like local rather than just somewhere global, like far away, was just, it was just really interesting to hear his journey, draw some of my own connections, and have it like kind of like set me up for my own like, I guess, consciousness as I was like growing up and thinking about what, you know, what I cared about and those types of things. So I think it was really like, it was really helpful in my own journey, I guess.
For sure. Yeah. And really, that's beautiful. Like, that sentiment is so beautiful. So I think we can end on that note, because I can't think of a better way to end. I want to thank you, Rabia, for coming on and joining me on this discussion. Where can people find you if they want to connect?
Thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been so like cool and interesting to share space and learn from you. So they can check me out on my Twitter platform, which is Rabia Kokar One, as well as my website, www.rabiakokar.com.
Excellent. So be sure to check Rabia out. She's a wealth of knowledge, especially within the education, teaching, and librarianship side of things. So if you're into any of that stuff, check her out. She's got lots of resources. I've found myself every once in a while checking out some of the things that you've shared, and it's helped me in my own library career. So thank you.
So sweet. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoy talking about it. And until our next episode, I just hope everybody keeps sharing music.